Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
Well, here we are. You happy to be here?
Yeah.
Still going all right? Good. If you're joining us online, a very special welcome to you. If you're doing it via the podcast on demand later on in the week off YouTube, just listening to the message whenever you are, we're so good. I'm so glad that you're with us. And I'm glad that all you guys are here with us as well today. It's going to be a really good day. We're at our last week of our series, Reality Check. Turn to someone and say, you need a reality check. And we've been doing this series, and all the way through this series, I've said to everyone that I don't want to diminish what people are going through. I don't want to actually diminish what people are going through. I don't want to, you know, just tell them to, you know, whatever. It's really just about us highlighting the fact that we can see things sometimes from a different perspective. And so we kind of have looked at a few different things. The first week we looked at when it rains in our life, the Lord still reigns on high. And that was a great message. I enjoyed that one. Then we went to, it's not happily ever after, it's happily forever after. To keep in mind that actually we're here on earth for a short time, and actually we're going to be in heaven in eternity with God, and that's going to be awesome and great and wonderful. We're going to love that. Week three, we went to, we're either in Christ with our identities or we're in crisis. And that was a pretty powerful one because we need to know who God says we are, because we can quite often pick up different things from the world. Last week, we looked at the idea of we are not helpless, we have a helper. And it was the Holy Spirit, if you remember. And this is part two of we are not helpless, but we have a helper. Part two, revamped. Redone. I don't know. Something. Part two. Like, we couldn't squeeze everything in last week, so we went to 2 weeks with it. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into what God has for us. Can I ask that in-house, mine might be turned down just a little bit, but otherwise, it's probably fine online, but in-house just a little bit. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into this last week and what God has for us. For King Jesus, we just acknowledge you as the one and only God, the God who is above all other gods, the God that is well above everything we could ever ask or imagine. God, you today are the only proper object of worship. And so as we study today, as we open your word, as we get into it, draw us closer to you. Teach us something new today about your Holy Spirit, and teach us something today about you. Just draw us close to you. Amen. Okay, we're going to jump straight into it today. No story. We're just jumping straight in. If you've got your Bibles, Luke chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 28. And before someone comes to me and tells me this, I know it's part of the Christmas story. I can't believe we're starting here today. But there's something in the Christmas story that I want us to look at that is actually a good springboard for what we want to talk about this week. Luke chapter 1, verse 28, you should also know that at this point in time, Mary is about 14 years old. 14, maybe 15 at the outside, 16 totally outside, 14, 13, 14, 15, somewhere in that range. And this is where the angel of the Lord comes to her and starts having a conversation with her. And this is what we're going to look at. Luke chapter 1, verse 28, you ready?
Yes.
Awesome. The angel went and said to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at the words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. If this was a me and there was an angel there appearing to me, I probably would faint. Although I was seeing an angel's on my bucket list and I really want to do it. But I just, you know, it'd be kind of cool to see an angel, wouldn't it? Like, but
I want to skydive too, but the plane's still working.
Yeah, yeah. So this is a greeting, but she must have looked a little bit afraid because the angel goes on to say, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God." Verse 31, and this is where we start to really hone in on what we want to look at today. "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Now, just for a second, I want you to put yourselves in Mary's shoes, right? An angel of the Lord comes to you with this assignment, with this job for you to do, right? And it's a pretty big job. Mary, you know, the angel comes to Mary and goes, "Hey, Mary, you're going to have a baby. Yeah, yeah, I know that, you know, you're still a virgin and you haven't, you know, done those things, but this baby is going to be the baby of the Most High God, right? The Holy Spirit's going to do it. He's going to put something inside you and he'll reign over Israel and he will change the world forever. And oh, by the way, every man's salvation on the planet and every woman's salvation on the planet is going to be dependent on what's been birthed inside of you. So no pressure, no pressure. You've got this." It's a pretty big assignment, right? Like, I have to admit, you know, I'm a parent and I don't get it right, ever. I feel like I'm failing most of the time and I'm not equipped to be a parent. And yet, this angel's come to Mary and gone, you're gonna birth the Son of God. You're going to raise the Son of God on the planet. This is a big purpose for Mary, is it not? This is a big mission for her to carry out. And I love what Mary says next. Verse 34. "How will this be? I'm still young. I haven't done what you need to do in order to have a baby. The fate of all humanity is going to come out of me. How is this going to work? Like, how is this going to be?" And that's a great question. It's a really good question, is it not? How is this going to happen? And for some of us, when we talk about Christianity and talk about all these different things, sometimes, right, we learn it through revelation. Like we just, God somehow teaches us through reading the scriptures or shows us something, or we just know it in our spirits. And, you know, then there's other times where we need to know why. We have to investigate a little bit more, a little bit deeper. And Mary, I don't think, didn't have any faith at this point. I think she just wanted to know how. How is this going to happen? The implication, if you're asking how is this going to happen, is that she believes it's going to happen. It's just, how are we going to do it? Does that make sense? Right? And so the angel says to her in verse 35, "The Holy Spirit will come on you." Say, "Come on you." "And the power," say power, "of the Most High will overshadow you. So the one to be born will be called the Son of God." In other words, to fulfill the purpose that God has for you, Mary, to fulfill and accomplish the mission that God has for you, right? The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and give you power. It's going to come upon you and give you power. The Holy Spirit is going to give you power in order to do the mission, in order to fulfill the purpose that you have. The Holy Spirit is going to give you power. Now, I must admit this, right? I was struggling during the week because last week, right, we talked about the Holy Spirit being in us, did we not? Right? And we all said it, right, that when we gave our lives to Jesus, when Jesus came into our hearts, we received the Holy Spirit. Right? Remember we said that? So that if we have the Holy Spirit in us, then why now is it talking about the Holy Spirit coming upon us? And this language is a bit tricky, is it not? Right? The language is a little bit tricky. And it's true, the Holy Spirit is in us. But this idea of the Holy Spirit coming upon us and giving us power, well, that's a bit different than being in us. And it's not the only place that it says this. In all through Acts, it says that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you power. Right? In fact, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "You will receive power." Say power.
Power.
Say it like you've really got some power in your voice this morning. Power.
Power.
"When the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This idea that the Holy Spirit is going to give us power and put it on us is different to the Holy Spirit being in us. And so I started to kind of go, what's going on here, God? You know what I mean? Like, you get that little bit of confusion going on? And I want to say today, and the whole premise of today starts with this concept that it's the same Holy Spirit that has been talked about here. The same one that's in us and the same one that gets put on us with power. Same Holy Spirit, different function of the Holy Spirit. Last week, the Holy Spirit was in us and helping us and telling us what is true, what is from God, and what isn't from God. And remember that last week. And this week, we're now saying the Holy Spirit is going to come on us for a purpose, to accomplish the mission, to fulfill the purpose of why we're here, right? Being brought on us. Same Spirit, different function of the Spirit. Same Spirit, different application. Same Spirit helping us, but helping us in a different way. Does that make sense? I need you to get this because I don't want to lose anybody through this. It's the same Spirit. And if there's ever a subject in the church that has been misused, mistreated, misunderstood, it's the power of the Holy Spirit, right? The power of the Holy Spirit in some churches have divided, like theologically divided churches. When they start talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's caused people to leave churches. I've even heard, and I kid you not, I heard this when I was living in Melbourne, that you can have that much power of the Holy Spirit that you can literally walk through a wall. Because Jesus walked through a wall and appeared in a room. Well, if you've got the Holy Spirit, you can do that too. I call them doorways, but this person was adamant that you could go through brick walls. Right? Like, people have lost friendships because the differences that we see around the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want us to understand today that the power of the Holy Spirit is given to us, is put upon us to fulfill the purpose of which we have been born and made for, and to accomplish a mission that God has for us. Does that make sense? That the Spirit is to accomplish the purpose that God has for us in our lives and accomplish the mission that He has in our lives. A number of years ago, Zoe and I took our kids to Adventure World. Anybody been to Adventure World? A few of yous. All right. Adventure World's a great place. It's a theme park like anything else. Disneyland, Movie World, they're all the same, really. They're big attractional parks with rides and this. And Zoe and I, you know, we get the kids, we chuck them in the car, we drive down the night before. I think we're staying at her mum's house. And then we jumped in the car the following morning and we drove down to Adventure World, parked like 1,000 kilometres away, walked then to the gate because there's so many people there. You know, you get to the gate, and when you get to the gate, there's just like crowds of people and screaming kids. And I don't know why anybody likes these places. I mean, you know, you go there and you just wait at the, like, you have to walk 1,000 miles to get to the gate, and then you get to the gate and you have to wait again, right? And there's kids screaming and going, I'm pretty sure they've convinced kids that this place is like heaven on earth, but it's really just, I can find bad coffee and better food in other places with screaming kids around me for a lot cheaper than it is to get in the gate, right? But we get to the gate, and we get to the gate, and we line up, we go through the gate, and we pay an exorbitant fee to get through the gate, you know? It comes out of my account. It's gone, right? But here's the thing. Once you're inside the gate, every attraction and every ride is free. You gotta get in the gate. Gotta get in the gate. And then you can have access to all the activities, to the race cars, to the roller coasters, to the water slides. You get access to everything for free, right? And this is the same for us in Christianity, right? We have Jesus, who is the gate. In fact, in John 10, verse 9, it says, I am the gate. This is Jesus speaking of himself. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, right? And so we get access, full access into what God has for us, right? We go through the gate and we have access to the entire theme park that is God, right? The entire theme park that is God. We get access into that, right? Access through. But what a lot of us do is actually we go through the gate and then we just sit on the other side and go, well, is this it? I mean, we're saved. We have the Holy Spirit in us, but we actually just are through the gate. We're not experiencing the rest of the theme park. Does that make sense? And I want us today to actually kind of move past that and see the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is in a different part of the park. And for the amount of money we pay to get in the gate, that we didn't pay, Jesus paid it for us. But if we're using the theme park as an analogy, the amount of money that's taken off my card, I want to experience everything that's inside the gate. And I hope you guys do too, that you would want everything inside the gate because you paid such a high price. And see, Jesus paid such a high price for us to get into the gate, to go through the gate. Let's experience everything that's inside the gate. Make sense? Let me get my volunteers up. Where's my volunteers? Let me get my volunteers up, because this is the, you know, we have a Holy Helper part two, you know, like, this is it. Where's God's coming? We're changing people up a little bit. All right. You're Jesus. You can be Jesus. You can stick that on. All right. Remember this last week? Who was here last week? Yeah, I told you this was going to be part two, so you need to kind of get the... Oh, what have I done? There we go. Holy Spirit. All right, there we go. All right, we'll just stand up. Yeah, great. Right, and remember, we said once we receive Jesus as our Lord and Saviour of our life, we come into this relationship, like through Jesus, we have God, right? No one comes to the Father except through me, remember? And so we have God, and we have the Holy Spirit, and we have Jesus living in it, and we're all kind of happening. But then remember, we talked about how life is not quite like that. Because if this was life, and this is all you did, and you were a hermit, and you lived by yourself, life would be great, wouldn't it? This would be good. I could handle this, just me and the Holy Spirit and Jesus hanging out with God, you know, partying all night. That's heaven. But, you know, life is not like that. And we had work, and we had social media, and we had social lives, and we had all these other things, family and marriage. We had all these other things, remember, that are from God. And if you were here, we had all those little yellow sticky notes. Remember the yellow sticky notes that we put on everybody? Right? Well, and they stuck on. And then we talked about how the Holy Spirit, when we have the Holy Spirit guides us and says what is true and what is not true. Remember that? Remember that? What is true and not true. And as they were going, they were just peeling off these little yellow stickers like it was nothing. And they were falling to the floor. And all of a sudden we were like, yeah, this is great. Problem is, for me, right, and as good as this picture is, for me, right, it doesn't work. I know I taught it last week, and it's all true, everything I taught you last week. But in my life, it's not as easy as the Holy Spirit coming up and just peeling off the little yellow stickers, is it? Right, when I was doing that, you were just thinking, God, I wish it was that easy. Come on, let's be really honest here. Really honest. I wish it was that easy that you could just pull those things off and life would be great. Right? Come on. Who's with me? Yeah. And so there was some things there. Can I get, give me five volunteers, any five. Right, you guys stand over there for a minute, way over there. Right, I want five volunteers. Come on, five volunteers. Let's go. Right, because some of the things that we had that attached themselves to some of the good things. Right, come on, yeah. Come on. Right, you know, we talked about fear being one of those things, right? You know, we talked about past hurts being one of those things. And these are a little bigger than those little sticky notes, right? Come on, someone else. Let's go. Come on. Yeah, come on, Ophelia, let's go. Come on, yep. We won't say Ophelia is our problem, but we do have problems. Right, move your hair so we don't stick your hair down. Excellent.
I love that.
Right, we have problems. And what else do we have? We have addictions that kind of attach themselves, because when you do something for long enough, it becomes an addiction after a while. Even if it's sin, you know, it becomes an addiction. I need one more. All right, Marlene, excellent. Oh. Right, and we didn't talk about this bad boy last week, but there's sin in our life, right? There is sin in our life. And And, you know, we also had comparisons, and we had selfish ambitions, love for money, greed, lust, anxiety, control, pride, body issues, jealousy, bad influences. We had heaps of stuff that could attach themselves in our life. And what tends to happen is we go from here, and we're like, we've got all this stuff happening in our life, and we want the Holy Spirit to help us, right? And it doesn't quite work. Because the Holy Spirit, right, guides us and tells us what is true and what is right. And it's all good, but it's not as easy as just pulling those little things out of our life, is it? You see, when we gave our lives to Jesus, it's like, do you know the story of the woman at the well? Right? Jesus goes to the well in the middle of the day, and the woman's there, and she's drawing water, and Jesus says to her, you know, stop searching for this. Stop trying to fill that God-shaped hole in your heart. I am the water that satisfies. I am the water that brings life. Right? And he was talking about salvation. And really, you know, it makes sense, you know, because the Holy Spirit is represented as water and fire in the New Testament. But I've got some water here. And oh, this is good. I needed this. And as you take in your salvation and you start to get to know Jesus, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the whole lot, you know, you get to have that little bit of water that just starts to refresh your soul. It energizes, rejuvenates the body, and you start to feel good. And then the Holy Spirit says, well, that's not of me. Get rid of it. And you're like, sure. Okay, Holy Spirit. And you try to. Oh, good. Link arms, link arms, link arms, link arms, link arms, link arms. Great. And you try to get rid of fear. But fear's just not moving out of your life, right? It's just not happening. It's still there. And last week I talked about how, remember, we're just pulling them off, and I wish life was that easy. But it's not, because they link together and they bond themselves, and somehow you're trying to get the sin out of your life and you just can't rip it away. It's ingrained there too much. And this is where I think we need a different type of help. Holy Spirit, go get me something. Go get me something, right? Because here's the truth, right? The Holy Spirit is there with us. Same Spirit, different application. Make sense? More in the theme park. We've got entry. We have the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. He's inside us with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God. We're all together, but we actually need the Holy Spirit to give us a different application, to come upon us with power, right? Come upon us with power. Right, here we go. Right, thank you, Holy Spirit. All right. Now, I was going to get a fire hose, but they were $250 and I couldn't afford that much. So, right. Now, let's just pretend this is a fire hose and it's connected to a hydrant. Right, we got a nozzle on the front. We got like there's a flat and a vertical and a mist and stream cone center. There's the jet. Right. Now, same water. Right. One goes in, refreshes us from the inside out. The other one comes upon us. Comes upon us with some power. Right, I wish this was connected because the fear on their faces would be awesome right now. But if we would turn this bad boy on, right, and plug it in with all the power in it, they would look mighty fine now. But when we start to spray these things with the power of the Holy Spirit applied differently, then these jokers have no chance. Especially if this was a fire hydrant. Now, a hose has a little bit of power. Can you imagine how much power is coming out of a fire hydrant hose? Right? Even if I did press this and it was a fire hydrant and it went, right, the power would be, it would knock these guys over. Does that make sense? Same Spirit, different application. Still water, applied very differently. One has refreshing qualities, guiding us, leading us, teaching us, pointing us to Jesus. The other one has the power to remove. Does that make sense? Right. Go sit down, give them a round of applause. Because the minute we start using that fire hydrant, they're gone. Right? Go sit down. I have no idea where I'm up to anymore. But that's all right. Very nice. Same spirit, different application. There's more in the park, in the adventure park. And so the question for us today is, how do we apply the Holy Spirit and get the Holy Spirit upon us and have power? That's the real question, isn't it? If we know that the application of the Holy Spirit is already in us, then how do we access the power to get rid of these things in our lives? Of anxiety and grief and addictions and fears and hurts and all the stuff that we have that attach themselves to us that are not from God. How do we get the power? Well, I've got three things for you today. You ready for them?
Yep.
Number one, we have to want it. We have to want it. You can't. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman, right? But we have to want it. He ain't going to give you power if you don't want it. We have to want it, right? We have to want it. And as I said earlier, what we do is we enter into the gate. We go through the gate. After the huge price of Jesus dying on the cross has happened, we enter the gate and we get to the other side of the gate and we go, well, this is nice. I think I might just sit here. And we look at everything else, but we don't actually engage with anything else. Does that make sense? We need to want it. The Holy Spirit is not going to give you power unless you want it in your life. Right? You need to want it. You need to want it. It's not going to happen otherwise. Number two, we need to believe it. We need to want it, but we also need to believe it. Believe it. You know, Mary had this revelation, and it's one that I've said quite often in this place, that God can and God will. She just wanted to know the mechanics behind it. How is this all going to work? But she understood that God can and God will. She just wanted to know how. And I know that because the story just before this one is Zacchaeus. You know, Zacchaeus, and Elizabeth, you know, with the, he's the priest and Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist, that story, right? Remember, he's there and the angel, same angel, comes along and says, you're going to have a baby. It's almost mirrored stories. You're going to have a child. He turns around and goes, how's that possible? My wife is too old. A judgment. He had doubt that it would actually happen. Where Mary didn't say that, she said how, just how. There's a big difference. We might not understand how God and the Holy Spirit's going to send the power and use it. We can ask him how, but we don't need to necessarily know that in order for God to do that. Does that make sense? Right, God will give us his Holy Spirit and his power, the power will come upon us, right? Right, we need to want it, we need to believe it. Number three, and I'll get the keys to come up, which I should have called a little while ago. But number three, we need to want it. That speaks to desire of it. We need to believe it. That speaks of faith in it. We need to know that we need it. We have to want it. We have to believe it. We have to know we need it. You see, here's the thing, right? When they were all linked arms, there is no ways in my own strength that I could push them off the stage. It was never going to happen. And there are so many things in our lives that we attach themselves and stick to us, and we pick up these labels, we pick up these things, and we can't get rid of them in our own strength. It's only when the Holy Spirit's power comes upon us that we have enough power. And it's his power, not our power, but it's channeled and it gets rid of it. It's the Holy Spirit doing the work, not us. We have to want it. We have to believe it. We have to know that we need it. And I don't know about you, but I'm messed up. I know I am. And God's putting me back together, absolutely. We must want it, we must believe it, we must humbly know that we need it. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. The power to make you the person that God created you to be, to get rid of past hurts, to get rid of, you know, grief and loss, to get rid of all the stuff that's not of God. Does that make sense? To get rid of all of the addictions and the fear and all of that. And I'm not talking about an emotion of fear, by the way. Like if an angel stood up in front of me right now, I'd be scared. I'm not talking about that emotional fear. I'm talking about the fear that grips us and holds us down forever and ever. Doesn't allow us to do stuff. Come, Holy Spirit, fall afresh on me. Fill me with your power so that I can accomplish the mission you call me to, so that I can fulfill the purpose of what you have for my life, so I can become the person you want me to be. Let your spirit and your power fall on. Come, Holy Spirit, fall afresh on me. Fill me with your power. Satisfy my need. Only you can make me whole. Only you can give me strength and make me grow. Come, Holy Spirit, fall afresh on me. Come upon me with your power, Holy Spirit. And so if you want it, if you believe it, and you know that you need it, then you could stand as we sing. We'll get the singers up. And we'll sing this song, Come Holy Spirit. Because I know that God wants to break the chains, some of the chains in your lives. I know that God wants to get rid of some of this stuff. And as easy as pulling those little yellow tags off last week, it's not quite that simple. We need the power to come upon us to do that. So if God has been speaking to you today, you can stand where you're at. You might want to raise your hands and say, Lord, come fill me. If you're comfortable doing that, you might want to just sit there praying. You might want to kneel if that's your thing. But just allow the Spirit to speak to you as we sing this song.